Hallelujah. Let us give Jesus a good clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let us go back to our study. Jubilee. We started to look at Jubilee under the New Testament. It is not actually given to us as under the old, as an ordinance, but we can work it out in the events of the New Testament. And we have started to do that. I would call it the first part. One thing that we may want to make use of now to clarify some things. Before I do that, we were looking at examples of miracles, signs and wonders. Remember?
Yes.
On Tuesday. Okay. I looked at some significant ones. But the Immaculate Conception was a major sign. Amen? And the Lord will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bring forth a son. Are you with me? A sign. Before then, there was not a case of a virgin who conceived. And after that, there has not been another one. A unique sign. Now, it is known in science. It is known in science that you can trigger reproduction. It's a lot, they have done it with cows now. It started with lower animals. You take a single cell and you subject it to some treatment, and the single cell from a particular individual begins to multiply and it forms another of that type of animal. It's been done with a cow. It is called cloning. It is called cloning. Now, it is not in some animals, not a female. For example, turkey. A female turkey, all by itself, may lay an egg that will produce. It's strange, isn't it? However, the offspring will always be female, not male. Hallelujah.
Yes.
So the sign is still unique. Are you following me? That the virgin will conceive, not bear a female, but bear a male. So science cannot explain that the type of thing they do with the single egg, throw it into cloning, took place spontaneously inside Mary. If that had happened, because there was no contribution from a man, are you with me? Because there was no contribution from a man, the offspring has to be female. Do you follow me now? Praise the Lord. Well, here came Jesus, a male. The virgin will bring forth a son. Glory to God. It's a big sign. Hallelujah. One other thing. The transfiguration was a sign. Remember the transfiguration? He brought Peter, James, and John. Come and see heaven come down. Hallelujah. He had said earlier, there are some people standing here who will see the kingdom of heaven before they die. And a few days after, he took Peter, James, and John. He took them to the Mount of Transfiguration. And before them, they saw heaven come down. And they saw Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus and talking with him. Praise the Lord. That was a sign. See, if you were there and you had seen these things with your eyes, you would never doubt in this world that this is the Son of God. Are you with me? Jesus had to make sure that those who are going to handle the gospel after him will not be in any doubt. Hallelujah. A sign and a wonder. Walking on the sea. Walking on the sea. Hey, this is more than a man. Dominion over the sea. A man does not walk on water. When they get home, try it. He had to show, look, I am in control. Hallelujah. A sign and a wonder. A man stands and rebukes the wind, and rebukes the waves, and they obeyed. They obeyed. And people had to say, what sort of man is this? The winds and the waves obey him. A sign and a wonder rebuke the unclean spirits, and they obey. Unclean spirits normally torment people. When they saw Jesus, we know you, the Holy One of God. Are you? Oh my goodness. And people were hearing it. You see, it is a terrible thing to be religious. Religion just means you practice one type of religion. It doesn't mean that you are holy. The spiritual leaders of that time, they were hearing unclean spirits declare, this is the Holy One of God, for themselves, even hated him the more. Why must evil spirits respect Jesus more than you? You. So you can understand James, when James said, you say that you know God. Not true. You have tried. But the unclean spirits also know him, and beyond that, they tremble. You, human being, you say you know him. That is where you stopped. You don't tremble. You don't respect him. But the unclean spirits respect him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sign. Oh, we mentioned Lazarus. Dead for 4 days. So that there is no excuse. These days now people die for some minutes. The doctors walk. Bam, bam, bam. The electric shock. Boom. They jump. The heart just died. And sometimes the heart picks up again. And the person wakes up. And we said, Lazarus was allowed to begin to stink. Go and bring all of the doctors in this ward with all of their electrical gadgets. Let them come and wake up that kind of person. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So let us move on now. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. I will begin to see something very important here. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 only, and I read. Talking about Jesus, you can go and read from verse 1 when you get home. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of a flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Hallelujah. I know that we have read this over and over. But what is John saying here? That basically, man, as at the time of the coming of Jesus, was not born of God. Amen. He said, it is when you receive Jesus that you become born of God. No longer of the will of man or flesh and blood, but of God. Now, which means that your initial birth was of the will of man and was of flesh and blood. Right. 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 Okay. In other words, every man that had come into this world could trace his genealogies back to Adam. Are you with me? So Adam was the man of the flesh. Adamic nature is the nature of sin. Everybody inherited it from Adam until Jesus came. Adam was your first foundation. Are you with me now? All of us were built on him. Then Jesus came. In the fulfillment of a prophecy, we had read it before. Let me read it again. Isaiah 28:16. Let me read it again. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So John is saying that you must be moved from the foundation of dust. Adam was made of dust, right? Okay? Adam was a man of dust. You must be moved from that foundation and you must come to the foundation Jesus Christ, the rock, the new foundation. And then you are born of God. And that is what you call born again. Are you following me now? That is what you call born again. That you are no longer of the lineage of Adam. You have now come to be a child of God in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And that is what you call born again. You need to be born again. So, we now go to the book of John chapter 3. Stories that you know very well. The dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus. The dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus. Chapter 3. I will read a little and stop and say something. Start from one. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, talking about miracles and signs and wonders. Nicodemus just confirmed. These miracles that you do are signs to us that you actually come from God. Interestingly, he did not talk in the singular. He talked in the plural. We know. We know. If a man says, I know. It's a personal confession. But he said, we know. Who are we? We the Pharisees. No. Are you with me? We the ruling class. No. So when you see our people come and criticize you in public, it is not because they do not know. It is because they envy you. Even Pilate knew that. Go and read the trial of Jesus now. Even Pilate knew. The Bible said he knew that they brought him for envy. Hallelujah. Amen. Even Pilate knew. Jesus answered and said unto him, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't say of heaven, he said of God. Sometimes they are used synonymously, but they can be different. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is a general kingdom. Every place where God reigns is his kingdom. I think I was telling us about that some time ago, not long ago. And I said that in the colonial days, the Queen of England was the Queen of England, ruled over many countries. Are you with me? Everything in Nigeria was under her. The ones in India were under her. And Burma, all over, she was King of Kings on earth. Hallelujah. But the kingdom of England was in England. Are you following me? The kingdom of heaven is in heaven. But the kingdom of God is a generalized kingdom. Are you following me now? Praise the Lord. Okay. So, Nicodemus made the declaration. Surprisingly, Jesus had a way of talking. You say something, and what he says next, the reader may not be able to link what he said next with what you first said. Are you with me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, except a man accept him, as John has said in John 1:12, which we read, and be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. What does being born again do to you? The spirit of man cannot be without a controlling spirit. It's either the spirit of God or the power of darkness. Before the coming of Jesus, every man was physically ruled by the power of darkness. But thank God who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. So Jesus came to deliver us from the power of darkness. So the day that you accept Jesus, sincerely accept Jesus, the first change takes place in your spirit. The Holy Spirit kicks out the power of darkness and he takes a seat in your spirit. From that point onwards, if you have sincerely accepted Jesus, you begin to see things differently. Are you following me? You begin to see the kingdom of God. You begin to understand. To see is to understand. A blind man may say, oh, I see, I see. He is not talking about his eyes. He is saying that he understands. When you finish, you bring your handset. I did not even turn on my own. Turn off my own. Thank God it's not ringing. But you know, I don't really have a problem. If my handset should ring, I am still the one who confiscates it. So I don't really have a problem. I'm a very thorough one. I stick to the books.
Yes.
I'm the one who confiscates. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. You may use this.
This kingdom of darkness,
yes,
which everybody was subjected to before Christ came.
Yes.
You mean Abraham, David, my namesake. Me too, he was under the power of darkness. I thought they were liberated.
Okay. I thought somebody was going to ask that question. But if everybody was under the power of darkness until Jesus came, how come there were the saints of old? Are you with me? How come? Do you know that you can disobey the devil? Do you know? When you are born again, don't you still disobey God? You do. You disobey God. See, some people don't get it. When I come to people, I tell them, I say, listen, if you can disobey God so freely, you can disobey the devil. What is it about him? He shows you fornication. You say, devil, I disobey you. Are you following me now? Okay, we disobey God. See, God has to relate specially with some people. Do you know? Out of the whole world, in order to bring about the redemption of man, God just picked one lineage. He let the rest of the world. Are you with me? He just let the rest of the world do whatever you want. All I want to do is bring about a savior who will eventually be savior for the totality of mankind. Those who died before Jesus came did not go to heaven. They couldn't go. Redemption had not come. Father Abraham was in what was called Abraham's bosom. Do you follow my point? All of the good ones who died went to Abraham's bosom, not the bosom of Jesus Christ. They couldn't go. The sacrifice had not been made. But God was relating with some people in a special way to bring about redemption eventually. So he could still pour his spirit upon them to use them. If God is God, he is sovereign. The devil has no power over God. Hallelujah. And do you know that the gospel was preached to the dead? I mean, Peter said so. He first Peter. So the gospel was preached to the dead. Why would you preach the gospel to them? It's because they needed Jesus. And at the resurrection of Jesus, the Bible told us, the saints who had died now started to wake up. Jesus took them from Abraham's bosom. Those who were living, the Bible said, they saw them. Now he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He now led them. Now redemption is made. Come to heaven. Are you with me? They got up. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. If the gates were not shut before, why are you opening them now? And if you go to Revelation 22, it makes it clear. New Jerusalem, the gates will never be shut. So why were those ones shut before? Are you with me? Because we have to be shut up. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Give Jesus a good clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Your question brought us there to Alice, because we were going to talk about our eternal jubilee. Do you follow me now? We're definitely doing so. Okay. Saying it again will not be too much. Like the Apostle Paul said, writing the same thing to you over and over is not cumbersome for me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So let's go on. So now, your spirit is illuminated. You begin to see how to live in the kingdom of God, among the children of God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Amen. So, your first born again experience is in your spirit. See, I ask people, how many times did Jesus say you should get born again? Everybody says one time, because we have been told you only get born again once. Have you?
Yeah.
But when you sit down on your own and you study, and before you start, you tell the Lord, please open my eyes. Let me see wondrous things out of your law. He can show you things that people have never said. And people are shocked. When I was teaching on Enter the Kingdom, I talked on this thing, Nicodemus, that you have to get born again 3 times. What he said here is that when you get born again the first time in your spirit, which is only once in your life, you follow me? It's only once in your life. You get born again in your spirit. Jesus said, all it does is allow you to see the kingdom of God. See. with me now, it allows you to understand. So that when we teach thou shalt not commit adultery, it begins to have meaning to you when you are out there, adultery. That was just a privilege. Are you with me? She agrees. I was talking, where was that? Was it yesterday? Family altar or here? In the United States. Moral decadence has got to the point where in some states, I think New Jersey is one such state, I don't remember very well now. In some states, the law says, any two people who agree to have sex can have sex. Any two people. So if a man of 60 has sex with a girl of 8, if the girl says, yes, I allowed him, no case. Are you with me? If somebody's wife allows another man to sleep with her, if the husband comes under the power of the spirit of jealousy and he goes to court and the woman says, but I allow him, there's no case. No case. Are you with me? Unless you're a Christian, unless you're born again, you cannot see these things. But when you are born again, your spirit is now directed by the Spirit of God that has replaced the power of darkness. Your spirit will always tell you what you want to do is wrong. Are you following me now? What you are trying to do is wrong. Even if you will still do it, he will tell you. So Jesus said, you will see at your first born again. Then Nicodemus. Hallelujah. Amen. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Isn't that something? The terminology was new to the master. You know, Nicodemus was a master, a Pharisee. The Pharisees knew it all, to put it that way. They knew it all. Okay, let's go on. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So how many times are you to be born? Is that the second? The second and the third. The second and the third. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And is plus. There are different things. You add those two to the first one. You get three times for you to be born again. Hallelujah. But interestingly, he didn't say he cannot see now. He said, except be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Every word means what it is saying. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So, yes, please.
You are born again in your spirit only once in a lifetime.
Once in a lifetime.
That's in your spirit.
Yes.
Now the spirit is coming up again. Born again of water and of the spirit.
Yes. I will explain that. Praise the Lord. I like students to ask questions. Like Dr. Lubani. And like Maya Guru, I'm quicker here. You don't know what? He has heard your name now. He actually, you're Ricky. You can call her quicker if you want. You can call her Mrs. Mrs. what? You call her visit her husband's name. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, he says, except you be born of water and of the Spirit. Let's take water. If you read the Bible, you will see that in those days, as soon as people gave their lives as a crusade, like on the day of Pentecost, over 3,000, all were baptized the same day. The first thing that happened is the water. Are you with me now? That says you are baptized into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. What does the water do? Outside. You're outside. Symbolic of your sins washed away. Symbolic. The Apostle Paul to the Romans. Do you not know that as many of you as have been baptized, have been baptized into Christ Jesus, his death? Are you with me? In other words, when you stood in the water, that was your life before. You said you're giving your life to Jesus. You're standing in the water. You are still you, basically. A change has taken place in your spirit. But now we want to symbolize it so that nobody saw the change in your spirit, but people can see you being baptized. Hallelujah. They become witnesses. When you are dipped in the water, it means you have been buried, like the Apostle Paul said to the Romans. It means you are now buried with Christ Jesus, and as you come out, you are now resurrected into new life in Christ Jesus. That was the symbolism. Hallelujah. Some people say you don't have to be baptized with water. If you have confessed him, you have confessed him. It's true to confess him. But listen, Jesus told John, baptize me. John said, forget it, not me. I am too little to baptize you. Jesus said, suffer it now. Why? Because we must fulfill all righteousness. All righteousness. People come up with their own theories. But the apostles understood it very well. And it's important to do it. The household of Cornelius, Peter could have said, oh, they have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. What is water? Forget it. He said, no. He said, who can forbid water? Saying that these have received the Holy Ghost even like us. So after they have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, he dipped them in water. They knew that it was necessary. Hallelujah. Acts 19. The Apostle Paul again, with those 12 brethren. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit since you believe? We never knew there was something called Holy Spirit. You never knew that. What kind of baptism did you have then? The baptism of John. Oh, that was preparatory to the coming of Jesus. The Bible said he now took them, baptized them of necessity. And when they came out, he laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. Hallelujah. Amen. We look for things to make us feel convenient. It's objection to Anglican. You sprinkle. If you are still doing that in your church, I hope you are not doing it anymore. You are CLS. Okay. I know that the Anglicans have discovered. They have discovered that they are not supposed to be doing that. I taught on baptism years ago at Full Gospel when we were at Quora Hotel. An Anglican priest who was there came and said, I want to be baptized by immersion. And he came with his wife. During one of our baptisms, I told him, what to do baptism, come. And he came. And I baptized them by immersion. And an Anglican elder who was also there came and said, look, I want to be baptized by immersion, and I baptize him. And when the Anglican priest was heading one church here in town, he now started to dig in their books and found that the sprinkling was not supposed to be operating anymore. And I know that now he started it in so church, he started to dip them in water. I know that now Mount Olives will baptize by immersion. I don't know if all of them have changed. May God make you an instrument of good change. Yeah. When they sprinkle you, I think we said it, that is baptism unto Moses. Have you? Yeah. You remember we talked about it? Sprinkling is just baptism unto Moses. It's not true baptism. You want to be soaked. Hallelujah. The latter rain has come. Be soaked. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, from every teaching of the apostle, once you have gone through that baptism in water, the next thing that will now begin to happen in your life, the next thing that will begin to happen in your life, is that your life will begin to change. Are you following me? Reason. The Holy Spirit. Now, I'm almost doing everything that I have on the enter the kingdom, but it's okay. You see, there are three entities inside of you. That is why you need the three born again. Are you with me? Your spirit is born again, but if your soul is still stubborn, the Holy Spirit will tell your spirit, hey, look at him. What he wants to do is wrong. The Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, then your spirit speaks to your soul. Hey, haven't you ever said, my spirit was saying to me not to go? Have you?
Yes.
Some people will say, something inside of me was saying, well, that is your spirit. Talking to your soul, not your flesh. Your flesh doesn't hear anything. Are you following me now? Your flesh doesn't hear anything. It's just a mass of tissues. The Holy Spirit will tell your spirit. Your spirit will tell your soul what you want to do is wrong. Your soul can say, forget it, I'll do it anyway. I mean, how many times? Are you following me? You disobey the spirit all the time. It's because the soul is yet not liberated. Are you with me? The soul is getting the right message, but he's still preparing the things of the flesh. He wants to enjoy. Praise the Lord. Every activity that you carry out, your soul dictates the activities. Your soul gets information from your spirit, but your soul will decide to do or not to do. Your willpower is very strong in your soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are a Trinity. You are made after the image of God. The difference between you and the Trinity in heaven is that they never argue one against the other. They are in perfect agreement. Here, the debates go on inside of you. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am, you raised up your hand. Where is your handset?
I just want to ask a question.
Okay.
Can one perform a baptism two times? The reason why I'm asking this question is that I can remember when I was in the primary school. We were told that once you are from 12 years and above,
yes,
you can perform a baptism. Later, I discovered that during that time, I did it because of my friends were doing it.
Okay.
It's important that good well.
Yeah.
I didn't get good well. I'm born in a Christian family. So I thought, as they are doing it, so I'm supposed to do it too. So that's the time I have accepted Jesus Christ into my life. I've been thinking of it. Can one do it the second time? That's one question. The second question is, you said once we are born in the spirit, we are born forever. Does it mean the same thing that one cannot lose their salvation once you are born in the spirit?
Two questions. Can you be baptized two times? If you are convinced that you should take a second baptism, go and take it. You are justified by faith. Hallelujah. I'm sure that you cannot be condemned for taking the second baptism. But I'm not sure that you will not have a problem if you never got one. Are you with me now? Okay. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I think in the Bible, when they believe, they are baptized. So the first time you were being baptized, you went because your friends were going with you. Now that you have believed, I think it is good for you to be baptized again. That's what happened to me. I first got baptized, I was baptized first in Russia. So when I became born again, I was very old. I went again and in fact, I was baptized with my baby the same day. Yes, because she has given her life to Christ at that time.
See, at the time she was baptized, she was very old. because she married an Obomoshow man. So, her youth is renewed. like the eagles. Praise the Lord. Now, just a comment on that one. I said you are justified by faith. If you remember that you were baptized, and you now understand, and you say, praise the Lord, and you set your way in the path of the Lord, you are justified by faith if you didn't take a second one. Are you following me now? But if you feel like taking a second one, you cannot be condemned for taking a second one. Are you with me now? So if somebody comes to me asking, it means that the person has entertained the thought of taking the second one. I will say so that your heart will be at rest. Go take a second one. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Okay.
I have a similar situation. I was not a Christian by the time I did the first baptism. And funny thought, the following week, the pastor that I did our baptism at the Adegunle Baptist Church at Lagos, I saw him in a fool's house. Then he negotiated on Sabun. The pastor the bottom line is I was not a Christian because I did it so early. So and I've been eating the Lord's Supper in the church. That's why I'm asking. But this is why I'm telling you, I saw some deacons in my church. Sometimes it doesn't really matter. You understand?
Yeah.
But with what you have told us, I think I can still. So by the grace of God, I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm convinced that
Yes, like I said, you're justified by faith. So you don't have to, but if you want to, it's okay. Let me tell you, the only thing, you see, you saw the pastor who baptized you playing pool. You saw him at the pool. Okay, the point is this. The pastor could have baptized you and could have been committing adultery after. And if you never knew, wouldn't you still go to heaven? If you go to heaven, it's just because you saw that one. Okay.
As from a Muslim family. So I started school at the age of 10. Just say, I have to go to school. So at that time, because it was a Christian school, I got baptized. But later on now, because I was back from Anglican Church, later I changed to airport. And I could not take it. Because they said, we're not qualified. So what I felt that it's wrong for me to deny myself of such great things.
So that's the pastor that up to baptize. Praise the Lord. I think he just raised another issue. The issue where there are different doctrines. You go to a church. Well, my first shock was in the Catholic Church. My cousin was getting married in the United States, and we went to the marriage. And after joining the couple, they were going to administer communion. And the Reverend Father announced, if you are not a Catholic, you cannot take. And I was shocked. I mean, I was not troubled, but it was the first time that I knew that in a church, you can say, unless you belong to this church, you cannot take communion with us. I don't know how they read their Bibles.
Because Jesus insisted, you must be one. Even as the Father and I are one. But if you have not been baptized, you are not supposed to take it. If I am administering communion, I will announce, yep, you have been baptized. I don't care which church you come from. And we do that every January at our early bird meeting, the 3 days early bird in January. We administer communion and we tell the people, so long as you have been baptized, you can partake of it. And we'll give to everybody who has been baptized. You wanted to say something, sir? Okay.
Praise the Lord. Like my family, at the age of 8 days, you are Christian, you must be baptized. And I don't know, it has been bothering me this for a very long time. What is the name? We who doesn't know that time we are baptized. Is it righteous or good?
You see, I think this is Anglican and Catholic. Anglican and Catholic. Now, baptizing a baby, if you can pull it out of scripture, show it to me. You are supposed to accept Jesus and then be baptized. So how do you baptize a baby? See, Jesus said you err because you do not know the scriptures. You see, if you are born again, the reason they're doing it, they want you to go to heaven. Amen. Okay. They have good motives, but they lack knowledge because they do not understand the scriptures. If you are born again, obviously in Christ, your sins have been washed away. And if they have been washed away, where are they now? They're gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. They're no longer there. If my wife and I have a child, the child is not conceived in sin. Neither are we going to raise the child in iniquity. Your child is born sanctified because you are already in Christ. And in Him, there is no sin. Go and read 1 Corinthians 7. The Apostle Paul explained. If two people are married, and one is a believer, their children are automatically sanctified by reason of the one who is a believer. Are you following me? Even if the one who is a believer is the woman. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Even if the one who is a believer is the woman, the children are yet sanctified by reason of the woman. Even though before the new covenant, inheritance was patrilineal. God was visiting the sins of the fathers upon the children. Are you following me? So now the blood of Jesus overrides. If the woman is a Christian, the blood of Jesus overrides. And what happens to the children is that they are now sanctified, even though the father is not a believer. Go and read 1 Corinthians 7. Hallelujah. So you don't have to worry about your child dying until the child comes to an age where he can make decisions. Do you follow my point? At the age where he can make decisions, he will now by himself. Let me tell you. The rule that is actually operating is that God has said the time will come when I will no longer visit the sins of the fathers upon the children, but everybody will take responsibility for his own sins. By the time that your child is 6 years old, 8 years old, watch carefully. He is already committing some sins. Isn't it true? You will hear some language and you say, Ibolo, whoever said that to your hearing? So people ask, so this thing that you have said, does it mean they don't need Jesus? They need Jesus. In the initial sanctification by reason of the faith of one of the parents is by Jesus. Amen? It is still by Jesus. But then as they grow, they will now have to personally appreciate Jesus and say, okay, I thank God for what has covered me thus far. I want to now personally accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, you see,
a lot of physical things are the little parts of spiritual things. When a baby is born and the baby is nursed by the mother, immunity from the mother covers the baby for some time. Are you with me? Immunity from the mother covers the baby for some time. After that, the baby must begin to produce his own defenses and begin to fight the diseases by himself. Are you with me? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Before then, you have undergone maybe a year baptism class. Amen. So that they will teach you, you will know what you are relating to, not just come and then they give you in the water. Praise the name of the Lord. For these days, some will say after they were baptized, maybe at the age of 15 or so, that they stray after, they just stray up. And there are no more Christians, they went into the world. A person now agreed, if you come, I really know, now I know what I'm doing and I want to give them time, the second time. They agreed with you. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will minister it and he convinced you. If you were under the influence of maybe a child being baptized or so, when you are grown up, well, you know what you are now. You can go and do that.
Hallelujah. Well, I will just explain a couple of things. I will not take more questions. It's 11 o'clock. One, she raised an issue. She raised an issue. If you have been baptized, you have gone astray, you come back. Should you be rebaptized? Actually, it is not necessary. Like I said, the second baptism does not condemn you. it's what you want to do. But if you look at the scriptures, when you read from the Acts of the Apostles, after the Acts of the Apostles, you begin to read epistles. And they were directed towards those who had believed. And they were talking about different types of sins. And all that was required was for you to repent and forsake them. But they never said anywhere, and be re-baptized. Are you following me? When you come back, all you need to do, I have gone astray, I am back. Like Brother James says, confess your sins one to another, and then you pray for forgiveness. That is all you now need. He did not say, and be re-baptized. It is not necessary. But if that is what gives you peace, do it. You cannot be condemned for doing it. Now, I must conclude on this segment in a few minutes. So now you understand, baptism is symbolic of the new life that you're supposed to be living. Hallelujah. Because you're now in Christ Jesus, having resurrected from the dead. And then the activities of the kingdom of darkness should not come upon you anymore. Go and read Romans 5 and 6. The Apostle Paul was saying, when you die to a world, you don't go back to live in that world anymore. Hallelujah. When you die and you leave this world, you are not going to come back here to live. So if you agree that you are dead to the world of sin, don't go back to the world of sin to live in sin anymore. Now, your new activities in life will now reflect correctly what the Holy Spirit is saying to your spirit, which your spirit is saying to your soul, and which your soul is obeying. Are you following me now? Your soul is no longer rebellious. Your soul is now obeying. So, people will see, you used to commit adultery, you don't commit adultery anymore. You used to steal, you don't steal anymore, because your soul is now giving the proper directives to your body to control your outward activities. And that is where Jesus now says, by their fruit, you shall know them. The fruit is what we can now see. Everybody can see the fruit on the tree. Are you following my point? Okay. The fruit is what we can now see. And that is the evidence that you are now born of the Spirit, as Africa was asking. Are you with me? The initial one, the Spirit, applies to your spirit, Holy Spirit. Now, the works of the Holy Spirit made apparent in your life, people can see, wow, this is a man of God. Are you following my point? You are now born of the Spirit. You have allowed the Spirit to work out His way in your life. Let's bow our heads and begin to pray. Hallelujah. Let's begin to pray now. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Let's give thanks to God. Let's glorify the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is so good. His mercy endures forever. And there is none like Him, none that can be compared unto Him. He has done so much for us. He has done so much for us. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the things that come to us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for ears to hear these things. And thank you for the grace to do these things. Thank you because you have made each of us a light. And you have set us on the hill. And we cannot be hidden. Our light must shine. The world must see it and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Jesus. We glorify your name, Jesus. We have other activities for today. Thank you for spirit deliverances. Thank you for those that are filled with your Holy Spirit. We glorify your holiness. Is there anybody here today who wants to say, I want to give my life to Jesus? Will you please raise up your hand? I want to pray with you before I take my seat. Anybody here? Giving my life to Jesus? Anybody? In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give Jesus a good clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen.